football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Reeves throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the fantasy football champs.
Hey, what's up, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill Enright here with Todd DeVries on for the next 2 hours, and if you're listening to this show live, we want you to call us 508-298-0398, or if you happen to be listening to the show on demand via the podcast, send us a tweet at FFChamps on Twitter. Helping you dominate your leagues in Week 12 is our number one goal of the show. And, of course, we're helping you with your fantasy football questions, so be sure to give us a call, 508-298-0398. And, Todd, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Bill. 48 hours until the tryptophan kicks in, my friend. I'm ready. Bring on the tryptophan. I'm all about it, man. Oh, there
it is. It is Thanksgiving week. 3 games on Thursday, of course. Including the Patriots and the Jets, obviously.
Yep.
Probably the biggest injury from Week 11 hits close to home for Patriot fans and leaves a huge hole for fantasy football managers. That's, of course, the injury to Rob Gronkowski, broken forearm. I doubt he'll be back in time for the regular season. Will he be back for the Patriots' postseason run? Most likely, yes. So that's good news for Patriots fans. Horrible news for fantasy football managers if you had Gronk on your fantasy team. Now, Todd, Gronk, number one tight end this season, averaging 18 points per game in a PPR league. Compared to Jimmy Graham, who's number two, 16 points in a PPR, and then Tony Gonzalez from the Atlanta Falcons, 15 points in a PPR. So this is awful timing with the fantasy football playoffs just 2 weeks away. But the silver lining in all this is we can help weave you through the waiver wire, find a suitable replacement. A lot of tight ends actually came out of nowhere in Week 11, so a lot of viable options that people out there can go ahead and pick up.
Yeah, how about how he got injured as well? I mean, on an extra point at the end of the game, really?
No, he's on the extra point team all year, though.
Why is he on the extra point team? He's the best tight end in the game, Bill.
Got to
block. What is that all about?
Got to block somebody.
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, it's the same thing, completely different situation. But how about Andy Reid? You know, keeping LeSean McCoy in the game with the minute and a half left, they're down 4 touchdowns. He gets a concussion. He's done. Like, what are these coaches doing, man? These are your star. These are prime, premier players in this league. Gronk should not be blocking on extra points. And LeSean McCoy should get his carries in the first half. Andy Reid doesn't do that. He gets his carries with 2 minutes left when they're down by 30. I don't understand it, man. Don't get it.
Well, regardless, we're going to help everyone that has Gronk, has McCoy, has Willis McGahee. A lot of injuries, so
yes.
We're going to help everyone with their waiver wire, obviously. We'll also cover the Week 11 champs and chumps, run through the list of injuries, our Week 12 player rankings, and, of course, preview the Pats and Jets game Thanksgiving night from a fantasy football perspective. Todd, what do you say before heading into Week 12 coverage? Let's look back at Week 11 and go over the champs and chumps.
Who were the playmakers, the showstoppers, the studs?
Woo!
And who were the losers, the bums, and the duds? Bill and Todd identify the champs and chumps.
All right, so the quarterback champs, Todd, you have to start off with Matt Schaub of the Houston Texans. Holy guacamole, 527 yards and
yeah.
5 touchdown passes. Where the hell did this game come from
well,
Matt Schaub?
Yeah, I mean, what a crazy game in general. I mean, you turn this game on, and Jacksonville's up huge over the Texans, and that's great news if you have Matt Schaub because you're like, okay, now they got to throw every down, and that's exactly what he did. Andre Johnson, Bill. We'll get to him a little later. I mean, my goodness, he looked like he was 21 years old again.
Yeah, it was an incredible game from the Texans, and they did it without Arian Foster. He only had, I think he had like less than 80 yards, his worst performance of the year. So it was a passing attack from the Texans, like you mentioned. They were down to the Jaguars heading into the fourth quarter. The game went into overtime, so that helped pad Schaub's stats a bit. But 527 yards, 5 touchdowns, that's the best quarterback performance we've seen all year.
Yeah, well, it's one of the best in the history of the NFL, yardage-wise, right?
Yeah.
It's up there, man. That's unexpected. And if you played Schaub, where did we have him ranked last week? Do you remember?
16.
Yeah, somewhere in that range, somewhere in the teens. So, you know, with the bye weeks, there's probably a lot of people that had him in there, you know, considering the matchup against the Jags. And, man, were they pleasantly surprised. Now, I didn't personally, Bill, you and I are both in a million leagues. Did you go against him in any leagues?
No, thank goodness.
Yeah, same here.
It would have been devastating. Devastating. If you went against Matt Schaub last week, most likely 99% of the time you lost.
So, wait, so you guys, I was in the 1% here because you got to hear this. So I went against in my two quarterback league that I'm in with my friends, you know, from high school. Mm-hmm. Bill, we all have that league.
Yeah.
The two quarterbacks I went against, and I happened to be playing my best friend. You know, we were born 9 days apart. We're like brothers. He had Schaub and RG3, and I won.
Ooh. How did
and you
that?
Won?
And I won.
Who'd
I won
you
by
have?
Like 5 points. Well, he started the Bears defense, which did like nothing.
Nothing.
I played Brady. So listen to this. I had Brady, who had a good game. I think he had 25 points in our league. Schaub had 37. Griffin had 32. Brady had 25. And I played Rivers, who had 12, who just played horrible. But then I just had like a bunch of like really solid numbers. Nobody that really stood out. I mean, I have Gronk as my keeper, unfortunately. He had a good week this past week. I think he had like 28 points. I think he was my high score. So he really helped me. But the fact that his defense got him negative points. And I think he had Jeremy Maclin starting, who got him a goose egg.
Those two
slots sort of balanced it out a little bit, but I eked out like a 4-point win when, you know, looking at that early game line, you know, getting ready for our game here on Sunday, I thought, I have no chance. You know, 37 and 32 from your quarterback, you're talking about almost 70 points right there. You know.
Well, I'll tell you, Kevin, I talked to a lot of people about fantasy football, and you were the first person to tell me that you actually won when facing Matt Schaub.
Yeah, it was obscene. I honest to God, thought I had no shot. I think I was down by over 100 points going into the 4 o'clock wave.
Yeah,
and I just made an epic comeback.
Like Frank Reich.
Well, I had Brady with 25, Gronk with like 28.5. I had Welker, who had a solid little game with like 12. So my three Patriots all did fine, and they cut into it. And then Ray Rice, just kind of an average game. I think he had like 12 or 13 points. And I had a lot of guys like right in that range that had between, let's say, like 8 and 13 points. And that really helps kind of peck away at it when you have a guy that throws up a 0 in Maclin and then a guy that gets, you know, the defense with negative 2. But, I mean, I'm definitely in the minority facing those two guys because they were on fire this week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and in that same game with Matt Schaub, how about Chad Henne, who filled in for the injured Blaine Gabbert? Never in my life would I think that Henne would make the champs list, but he does this week. 354 yards and 4 touchdowns. And, Kevin, you mentioned your opponent had Robert Griffin III. Well, that was pretty a dangerous matchup, too, because 200 passing yards for him, 4 touchdowns on the day, and 84 rushing yards. RG3 just getting it done against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, Bill, who did not get it done at the quarterback position?
Well, the QB chumps are Joe Flacco playing against the Steelers, 164 yards, no touchdowns. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, winter is coming, folks, 168 passing yards, no touchdowns.
Mm. Ugh, Flacco. Do you have any faith in Flacco leading your team?
Forget
fantasy. Forget fantasy for a second. I mean, really, did the Ravens fans out there really think Flacco's going to lead them to a title? To a title, Super Bowl title, championship.
I think Ravens fans are thinking right now, can he not lead us to a title, but can he do enough? Can he make no mistakes that he wouldn't cost us the title?
Gotcha.
Like last year, their kicker cost them that game against the Patriots.
Right.
Who was the kicker? I don't even remember his name anymore.
I don't know.
Kevin, you remember?
What was that?
Who was the Ravens kicker last year? I totally forget.
Cundiff?
Yeah, Billy Cundiff, right.
There you go.
He cost them that game. I think Ravens fans...
He's famous up here. I'd buy him a drink if I saw him.
I'm sure you would. I think Ravens fans are just hoping that Joe Flacco doesn't cost them the championship.
He's just so unremarkable to me. Like, I don't know. He has a couple good games, and the national media jumps on his bandwagon. And he goes, comes back to earth, you know?
Yeah.
All right. But, hey, moving on to the running back champs, Bill. How about that Marcel Reese from the Raiders?
Couple backups on this list, Todd. Filling in for Darren McFadden, Reese, 103 rushing yards, 4 receptions for 90 yards, 193 yards on the day, no touchdowns. But if you're in a PPR league or if you get a bonus at 100 yards, He did. He was one of the top ranked running backs this week.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row too, Bill. I mean, especially for
PPR. I'll tell you what. If Darren McFadden was in the game, I wonder what he'd be doing right now. Because all year, managers were worried about Darren McFadden getting injured, getting injured, getting injured. But the injury never came until 2 weeks ago. Instead, McFadden was underproducing every single week. Finally, the Raiders get some good matchups, and you see Marcel Reese explode in the fantasy football circles, and McFadden's riding on people's benches.
Yeah, unbelievable. Another guy, Bill, another backup, like you said. How about Lerod Stevens-Howling, the guy with 14 different names, 127 yards and a touchdown.
And, you know, this guy's really small, Todd. I can't believe the Cardinals give him the amount of carries that they give him. He's like 5'6", 100 and, I don't know, 75 pounds. He's tiny. But you know what? He gets it done because he's a speedster. 127 yards, like you mentioned, had a couple long runs. Makes the champs list this week. I don't know how often he'll do that because Beanie Wells, their original starter, is scheduled to come back this week.
Oh, Beanie Wells. Come on.
At best, he's going to take away some goal line carries and some carries, you know, in between the 20s.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just, I mean, what a bust Beanie Wells has been.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I mean, we knew this coming into the season, but it's just, he keeps lingering around. Keep running this little munchkin around, right?
Yeah, he is a munchkin.
Give him the ball. Give him the ball a lot. Another guy, Bill, and this guy's no stranger to the champs list. How about Doug Martin once again getting the job done, at least from a yardage standpoint?
He's amazing. 138 yards, and he luckily went into overtime because he only had about 94 yards at the end of the fourth quarter. Gets into overtime. He gets that bonus at 100 yards.
Yep.
Really rewarded fantasy managers.
And he, you know what? He got gypped out of a touchdown.
Just oh, I know, Todd. I know exactly what play you're talking about.
How did they not overturn that?
So Martin was on the 1 yard line, carried the ball, got over the goal line, and he fumbled, but he crossed the plane. They reviewed the play. They come out and they say, nope, it's a fumble. Panthers ball, it's a touchback. I was so mad because now you're looking. All right, so you're thinking a touchdown, right? That's 6 points.
Yep.
Now he gets a fumble, -2. That's an 8-point swing. That's huge.
I know, and I mean, I didn't get it. Initially, you know, it's a bang bang play on the field. I can see why, you know, they called it. They had a bad angle. The referee calls it a fumble. But I thought that it was pretty clear in the replays. I thought it was crystal clear. That he not only did he, you know, the ball, the tip of the ball only has to touch the part of the white part of the front of the white part of the line, right?
And then that's it. Whistle blows.
That's all that has to happen.
Right.
The ball not only it went across the line.
I know.
You know what I mean? It went into the end zone before he fumbled it. I did not understand that call whatsoever.
I was cursing like a trucker after that play. Like I said, that's an 8-point swing.
I know.
You're expecting the touchdown 6, you get the -2 on the fumble. So I was very upset. Doug Martin, by the way, Todd. 6 straight games with over 100 combined yards. He's getting it done rushing. He's getting it done receiving. Top 5 running back in terms of fantasy football points at this point. What a rookie season this guy's having.
Yeah, man. And, you know, to pat ourselves on the back, you know, we tried to tell everyone out there that he would be a better value play on draft day than Trent Richardson.
Right.
You know, we liked the situation he was jumping into in Tampa Bay with Greg Schiano, the new head coach. And, you know, they have an established quarterback and some weapons on wide receiver. Just, you know, balanced up the potential for a balanced offense. Whereas Trent Richardson, what might be a better running back than Doug Martin, he was going into a terrible situation in a terrible division with the Steelers and the Ravens. We said, don't, you know, wait and get Doug Martin late second round instead of reaching for Trent Richardson. And those people that follow our advice, pretty happy right now. They had to be patient, Bill, for that first month, right?
And then he
had to be patient because Doug Martin, you know, he shared the rock a lot in that first in September. But once the calendar turned October, boy, he's been on fire.
He already has 1,000 yards on the season, averaging 5.1 yards per carry. Only 200 rushes, only 200 carries, but getting it done with the receiving as well. Todd, 27 receptions on the year, 320 yards and a touchdown. What a pick. If you got him in the third or fourth round, congratulate yourself because he may be a guy that wins you your fantasy championship this year.
He's one of those types of guys that can certainly do it. All right, Bill, other side of the coin, running back chumps. Two huge top 10 running backs overall make the list. Arian Foster and Stephen Ridley.
I don't know what happened to Foster in this game. The Jags were shutting down the run, and it turned into the Matt Schaub show. I guess, like you said earlier, it was because they were down points and they had to start passing the ball. But Foster, 77 yards, 3 receptions, 15 yards. I believe he has scored a touchdown in like 15 straight games heading into week 11. Well, that streak just came to an end.
Yeah, you know what? He had more touches in that game than any other game the whole season too, Bill.
28 carries.
28 plus 3 was that. He had 31 touches, and that only amounted to 92 total yards, which for him, you know, 92 total yards, that's usually pretty good for a running back, but not for him.
Yeah, right.
Not against the Jags.
Not against the Jaguars. You're expecting a big day from Foster when he's playing against the Jags, and just never came.
No. Nah. How about Stephen Ridley, Bill? Patriots.
Stephen Ridley, 28 yards and a touchdown. Now, the thing about Ridley is he wasn't getting the carries against the Colts for some reason. You know, the Patriots scored 59 points. You would think their running back would have a really great day. But if it wasn't for that touchdown, which came late in the game, Ridley, major disappointment.
28 points or yards. I mean, like you said, if you don't watch the game at all and you just see the box score, you see 59 points and you have Ridley on your roster.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Bill? You know, 75, 80 yards, two touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about 28 yards and a touch? At least he got the touch.
Awful. Shane Vereen got more carries.
Yeah.
And Danny Woodhead did nothing. Zero points.
Yeah. Well, you know, crazy.
Thank God, because I played against some idiot who started Danny Woodhead this week, too.
I started Danny Woodhead and I lost by 0.4.
Idiot.
I mean, he had two touchdowns 2 weeks ago, and this week I knew I thought that the Colts would give up a lot of receptions out of the backfield.
Well,
and that didn't happen.
If I jumped off a bridge, Bill, would you do it too?
What?
I don't know. I was trying to make some analogy.
No, that wasn't working.
But it's just like, I don't know. I get really nervous about guys that do something like Chris Ivory, for example.
Yeah.
Had those two really solid weeks. I think he had two long touchdown runs in consecutive weeks. Had like, you know, 10 or more fantasy points in 2 weeks after doing nothing the whole year. And so I picked him up, and then I played him this week, and I think he had like 3 points. I'm so leery of guys that don't really do anything and then all of a sudden explode onto the scene with a big game, because normally they're just one-hit wonders. That's the way I feel.
But the thing with Woodhead is I'm in a full-point PPR league.
Which is, he's the third
down
back.
The last 4 weeks, he's gotten four receptions for anything over 30 yards, 30 to 55 yards. If he just did what he normally does, it would have been a blowout.
It's a nice little
I would have won by 8 points.
It's a nice
but
little flex play.
I lost
who's good for that too, Bill, that I picked up when I was going through the bye weeks?
Who?
In a PPR league was Ronnie Brown. He had like a lot of like weeks where he would get, 20 yards rushing and 30 or 40 yards receiving and have 3 or 4 catches. And, he's never going to get you 10, 11, 12, 15 points, but he would grind you out 6 to 8 every week.
Yeah.
So he originally was just a good plug.
Originally, I had Sproles in my lineup, but he was ruled inactive. I thought he was going to play. He practiced last week, so I had to make a last-minute switch. Danny Woodhead was playing the 4 o'clock game just like Sproles was. I thought I was safe. I ended up losing my 0.4. And, it's one of those friend leagues where I get the nonstop text messages, photos being sent to my phone of the score. It just, ridiculous.
Well, that's brutal.
It's terrible.
With friends like that, who needs enemies?
That's what I tell him every day. I say that line to him every single day. Every day. Anyway, I was gonna put Woodhead on the chumps list, but I didn't want to put Ridley and Woodhead on the list. But Woodhead kind of belongs here too.
All right.
Wide receiver champs, Andre Johnson, 14 receptions, 273 yards, 1 touchdown. The best game of his illustrious career. I don't know how Kevin Yu snuck out a victory when playing against Matt Schaub. If you played against Andre Johnson, probably you lost this weekend as well.
Yeah, thank God he didn't have Andre Johnson too. Thank God it was Macklin.
It would have been over.
Unbelievable, too. How about talk about getting points in overtime, too. How about that?
Yeah, what was it, a 47-yard screen for a touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah, incredible.
I mean, he racked up more and more points in overtime, which you love to see. You know, the new overtime rules kind of, it seems like you're going to have longer games,
Right.
And that's good for fantasy. So, he racked up the points in that one. On the other side of the ball, how about Justin Blackmon, Bill, the rookie?
Oh, well, Blackmon came out of nowhere. I think he had 24 points before that game, and then he had like 33 in this game. What was it? 7 receptions, 236 yards, and a touchdown. We only saw 4 wide receivers all season pass the 200-yard mark. We had 2 in this Texans and Jaguars game. Calvin Johnson did it. Brian Hartline did it. Reggie Wayne did it. And Vincent Jackson did it. Now Andre Johnson and Justin Blackmon join that 200-yard club.
Yeah, he had 250 receiving yards through 10 weeks, Bill.
Yeah,
he had 236. Puts up 236. He doubles it in one game. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what? And he did it when Chad Henne came in the game, too.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It was. You know? I think it was no coincidence that it was
no.
him.
Well, you have to imagine that they have a pretty good rapport considering, you know, some of the other wide receivers are ahead of Blackmon on the depth chart. So Henne and Blackmon probably practice together a lot.
Maybe.
Blackman's eyes must have lit up when he was like, wow, I have a guy that can actually throw the ball to me. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with Blackmon down the line. But he's probably available in a lot of leagues, Bill.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is, Todd, you said it. He matched his yardage total in one game compared to what he did for the first 10 weeks of the season.
Now, do you see this being like an Ogletree situation, Bill, where in week one, remember, Ogletree had a huge monster game and he disappeared the rest of the year?
Yes, I kind of do. I still like Cecil Shorts a lot better than him.
What if Chad Henne remains the quarterback there?
If Chad Henne is still going to be the quarterback, I mean, they're playing the Titans this weekend. They're playing the Bills. Two great matchups.
Yep.
But then they play the Jets. Then they play the Dolphins. And then another good matchup against the Patriots in week 16. But I don't know. He's still on the Jaguars. I try to avoid players on bad teams. I don't think, I mean, 236 yards, maybe the best year. Maybe that may be the best game of his career. 236 yards, 7 receptions. I mean, Andre Johnson's been in the league for, what, 13 years? And he never had a game this good?
Yep.
So to see Blackmon do it as a rookie, I mean, yeah, it's great as a one-week play if you had him in your lineup. If you go out and pick him up because, you know, you're afraid of a guy like Jeremy Maclin, maybe you had a couple injuries and you need a replacement, I wouldn't expect him to get more than 15 points, though, in a given week.
Right, right. Yeah, but, you know, if you're in dire straits, I mean, actually, we're done with the buys now, right?
All done with the buys.
No more buys, but, man, the injuries have been hit so hard. Yeah, maybe you never know. I mean, maybe you can get another week, squeeze a week or two out of Blackmon, especially if Henne gets some more time in there.
And there were a lot of injuries to wide receivers this week. You know,
yeah, there were.
Brown's still out. You know, Danny Amendola is a little bit banged up. Julio Jones is hurt. Dwayne Bowe has a neck injury. Donnie Avery has a concussion. So there are some injuries to wide receivers. So if you need Blackmon, it really depends on who you plan on starting him over. I wouldn't start him over I wouldn't start him over like a guy like Torrey Smith, even though Joe Flacco has been playing poorly. I'm still putting Torrey Smith in my lineup.
Right.
Maybe a Michael Crabtree. I put him on the Michael Crabtree level. Justin Blackmon, Michael Crabtree, in my eyes, pretty similar.
Okay. Hey, one more wide receiver champ, Bill. Dez Bryant. This guy, is anybody more of a yo-yo than this guy? Up and down
up
with the production. Look at this. He has three games this year, Bill, where he has given his fantasy owners either one or two fantasy point on a game.
And then in week 11, 12 receptions, 145 yards and a touchdown. This is the Dez Bryant that people want to see, that the Dallas Cowboys expected to see when they drafted him in the first round coming out of Oklahoma State. He was a guy that is supposed to be the game changer for them. And up until recently, he was more of a headache than a producer. And I don't know if he turned a page. I don't know if it's Jerry Jones threatening to trade him or cut him or what. But it seems like Dez is going on the right track. Two touchdowns in the last two games, 87 yards in week 10, 145 yards in week 11. Let's see what the Cowboys can do against a pretty bad Washington Redskins defense on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they get the Redskins and the Eagles coming up next. So, you know, pretty good schedule there for the Cowboys. Yeah. We'll go over to the wide receiver chumps, Bill. Mike Wallace, Jordy Nelson, some big names on this list.
There are. And you know what? It could have been worse because I excluded a lot of people from this list because I didn't want to embarrass anybody too much. Wallace, 4 receptions, 26 yards. Jordy Nelson, 3 receptions, 45 yards. And Denarius Moore, Oakland Raiders wide receiver, he's been on a tear, 4 touchdowns in his last 4 games. And then he comes out against the Saints, and he only has 1 reception for 9 yards. And this is a similar situation when you look at the Patriots score and you expect a big game from Stephen Ridley. Raiders quarterback Carson Palmer threw for 312 yards and 2 touchdowns. You would think their number one receiver would have some of that, but instead just 9 yards in the game.
Mm. I tell you what, Jordy Nelson, I don't have Jordy Nelson in any of my leagues, Bill.
Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of thought he was a wait and see this week coming back to the Packers. And it looked like, you know, Randall Cobb, 12 targets, 9 receptions, 74 yards and a touchdown. Randall Cobb keeps on going on, man. He has 7 touchdowns this year, Randall Cobb does.
He is something special. That's probably one of my biggest regrets, not drafting him in enough leagues. I got him in a couple. I should have just drafted him in every league. Because even with Greg Jennings, even with Jordy Nelson at the start of the season, in my eyes, Randall Cobb was going to be the number 3 guy, very versatile player. I wasn't convinced that Cedric Benson was going to be their main running back. Cobb even lines up in the backfield, gets a few carries. One of my biggest regrets this year is not getting Cobb on more teams. He's a special player. He's going to be great for a long time.
Well, again, Jordy Nelson, 5 targets, Randall Cobb, 12.
There you go.
Keep an eye on that.
Sums it up.
Yep.
How about the tight end champs? Before Rob Gronkowski went out, one of the best games of his season, 7 receptions, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns. That is the kind of production that made Gronk such a special player in fantasy football, because he gets you 26 points, and no other tight end can do that. Jimmy Graham and Tony Gonzalez are the next best thing, and even they average 2, 3, 4, 5 points a game less than Gronk does. It's a huge hole that fantasy managers are going to have to fix right now, and it's coming at a really bad time.
Yes, it is. Another guy, Bill. How about Vernon Davis? He's been really quiet most of the season. Colin Kaepernick comes in at quarterback. You know, those younger quarterbacks like to rely on their tight ends a little bit. And that was the case on Monday night. And Vernon Davis, 6 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown.
And it's about time, because last week we were discussing how he's been silent. Before week 11, he hasn't gotten to the end zone. Week 3 was his last touchdown against Minnesota. And he put some really bad fantasy performances in the last month of the season, going back to week 6 against the Giants, 4 points in week 6, 0 points in week 7 against the Seahawks. And then he followed those games up with 2 back-to-back 3-point games in week 8 and week 10. So Vernon Davis finally coming alive. Hey, if you're a Vernon Davis owner, you want Colin Kaepernick under center for the 49ers.
Yeah, so far so good with the two of them. We'll see what happens. Harbaugh says he's going to play the quarterback with the hot hand. We'll see if he actually does that moving forward. Chumps for the tight ends to wrap things up, Bill.
I think you're missing a champ.
Missing a champ?
Yeah.
Tight end?
Yeah.
What about the guy from the Packers? No.
One week wonder. The guy who had
60-something yards and a touchdown.
I will never put Tremichael Finley
in this. He must have had at least 15 points.
Did you see the play that he had? Did you see his touchdown?
He was like Bubba Franks in his prime.
No one tackled him. What are the Lions doing? They're terrible on defense.
Tackling
their quarterbacks
optional.
Are horrible. No one can tackle on
Here
that team.
This
it was the slowest moving touchdown I've ever seen. Finley got lucky. It was a fluke play. I'm not trusting him the rest of the way. 66 yards and a touchdown. I'll give him credit for that. But he only had 3 targets on the day. I still don't see Aaron Rodgers trusting him enough.
Caught all 3. 66.
Sticky hands
yards.
There, Kev.
Yeah, 66 yards and a score is not a bad day for a tight end. We'll see. All right, you can move on to the chumps, but we'll see. I'm looking at him as possibly a replacement for the Gronk.
Oh, Billy.
Since he's
well,
out.
You know what? I actually think he's going to have a pretty good week this week.
Oh.
The Giants are very prone to tight ends. But
so we'll see if my claim goes through. I'm hoping I can kind of snag him. Since
you're trying to get Finley? We have 5 solid tight ends that I think people can benefit from.
We can save that for later in the show.
Gronk.
I just wanted to rile you up. I'm sorry.
We'll do the waiver
Continue.
Wire at the end of the show. Anyway, champs and chumps, tight ends, we're on the champs. Brandon Pettigrew, 4 receptions, 22 yards. He fell off. Heath Miller, 2 receptions, 22 yards, with Byron Leftwich under center for the Steelers. And then what about Antonio Gates, Todd? 2 receptions, 17 yards. Chargers are falling apart right before our eyes.
Big shock. North Turner, can't rally the troops there, Bill.
Yeah, it's bad. And you know what? Gates had a great matchup. The Broncos can't stop the tight ends.
Go yourself, San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a matter of time before they just flatline.
I think they already have flatlined, Bill.
Beep. That's my flatline impression.
Oh, I thought that was a drop from Kevin. No, that was actually you.
Oh, is that good, huh?
That was me. You know, like when the heart monitor is beep, 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 and then it just goes flat. It goes beep. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I was just being quiet so that Kevin could record, you know, record what you're doing there.
That's the Chargers heart monitor right now. It's just flatlined. Flatline status, not a good thing in the NFL.
I got a random question since we're finished with Champs and Chumps, so we're going into the break.
Love random.
Why, and maybe this is more of a business-related question, but why is the Thursday night game not on NFL Network if it's like Thursday night football?
You know, they get into this discussion every year. What channel is it on?
But it's on NBC, but I feel like in the past 3 or 4 years, it's always been on NFL Network.
The Thanksgiving game?
Yeah, I believe it's on NBC. I can double check while you guys talk.
I think you're wrong. No, you're right. Yeah,
It's on NBC?
Yeah, it's on NBC. Now I know the majority of the general public is always in an uproar about NFL Network games because not everybody gets it. But the thing is, that uproar has existed for like 3 or 4 years now. And I feel like that Thursday night game, didn't we have the Harbaugh last year?
Yes.
Yeah, the Harbaugh.
And I feel like that was definitely on the network. I don't know.
I think you're right,
man. NFL Network?
So I just think it was.
I don't think it was because I was at a friend's house and we have Optimum Cablevision here and we didn't have NFL Network until this year unless you had Verizon Fios or DirecTV. And I watched that game on TV.
No, it's on. I just Googled it, Bill, and it was on NFL Network.
The
Harbaugh. Yep.
Lions, 49ers, Ravens, huh?
Yeah, I just can't figure out why for this year all of a sudden they flipped the switch when this has been. Maybe it took this long for them to kind of understand the public. You know, was angry, but
and then my other question doesn't have a game this week.
Then my other question is, so the NFL Network does not have a game this week. Their next one's not till November 29th.
Right.
And does now NBC get an additional Sunday night game, even though they're doing this Thursday night game?
Yeah, Packers and Giants.
Okay,
so they're
double dip. It's a big week for NBC Sports then.
Yeah.
Ratings-wise, you're going to dominate.
Dungy, Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, I mean,
analysis.
They're guaranteed to absolutely dominate those two nights of this week. So that's big for them.
Because those are big games too.
Yeah, so I'm completely, I don't know, I was just a random question. I just always assumed that this Thanksgiving game would be on NFL Network. So.
Now, is it going to be Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth for Patriots and Jets and the Packers and the Giants?
I would guess.
I mean, that makes sense because both of the games are in New York. It's the same stadium.
Yeah, and I mean,
they don't have to move their trucks all around.
There's plenty of time between games too. I mean, so it's just, I don't know. I was kind of befuddled when I saw the release come out. And then I saw a promo this past weekend for NBC for the Patriots-Jets games, and I was stunned. I was like, what the heck? And then you keep seeing these. If we have NFL Network on in the studio here about 24/7, and you keep seeing these Thursday Night Football promos, but it's for their like game November 29th. But you'll see like Thursday Night Football, and it's kind of misleading because they're not saying, "Oh, this is for 2 weeks." It makes you think it's for this week.
Well, the next game on Thursday Night Football on NFL Network, you mentioned the November 29th game, really good game, Saints and Falcons. So it's about time. We get a prime time other than these Thanksgiving games. The Thursday night games have been terrible this year. So at least in 2 weeks from now, we have something to look forward to.
I think this game will be pretty good on Thursday, too.
I'm saying
game.
Other than this week, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel you.
Yeah.
It's been ugly. Yeah. We've had some
ugly. I just
looked
it up here, guys. And according to Patriots.com, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth will be doing the Patriots-Jets game.
So I don't know. If anyone's listening out there and has any insight as to why the switch was made from NFL Network to NBC this year for Thanksgiving, I'd be curious, wouldn't you guys?
I'd love to know.
You know, because we have Fox with one game, CBS with one game, and NBC. So it's like each of the big three networks that carry the NFL football, each are getting a share on that day, which is kind of interesting. Right. But anyway, I digress.
All right, speaking of that Patriots and Jets matchup, we will break it down from a fantasy football perspective in the next segment after the break. And, of course, we're taking your telephone calls, 508-298-0398. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio.
More fantasy football strategy and advice coming up next.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24-7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Rooting for the Patriots is great.
Woo!
Rooting for one specific Patriots player because he's on your fantasy football team, well, that's just spectacular.
Brady on first down, play action, shoots it down the field, wide open, Gronkowski touchdown. That was like stealing. I mean, he was wide open.
It's time for the Patriots Fantasy Spotlight on Fantasy Football Champs.
All right, welcome back. And before we get into this Patriots-Jets matchup, we're going to break it down. Looking at the fantasy football perspective, Todd, you found something during the break about our little conversation regarding this Thursday night game for Thanksgiving, Pats and Jets being on NBC instead of the NFL Network. What'd you find?
Well, yeah, last year, the 49ers-Ravens game, it generated the biggest audience in the history of the NFL Network. But the problem was most of the nation doesn't get the NFL Network. There was a lot of criticism, right. And apparently, you know, the audience was heard. And they decided that moving forward, all of the Thanksgiving games will be televised on a major network. So that's good news for the NFL fan out there that doesn't have the NFL Network.
It's also good news for the Peacock. They must be happy.
Yeah. Well, like
that's
you said,
that's a huge
break.
Night because don't they have the parade in the morning? Like they probably have like the Macy's parade and
well,
then the
every,
game at
every
yeah, but I mean then
Patriots,
the game at night. Like that's parade. A huge bookend day for them. Yeah.
Bookend day. They could have the Tom Brady float, the Mark Sanchez float in the morning to promote the game at night.
Maybe they'll let me ride on one of the floats. That'd be
there
awesome.
There you go.
I'll have to write
we
to
should
the,
try to sneak onto a float.
I'll have to write to the mayor.
Good luck with that. I heard he's answering all calls. He's not. He's not really. All right. Patriots and Jets, looking at it from a fantasy football angle. Todd, obviously, let's start off with the quarterback. Tom Brady ranked fourth this week on our rankings at ffchamps.com. Jets. They still have the seventh-best passing defense, even without Darrelle Revis, but you can't get more consistent than Brady. 259 yards, two touchdowns, the last time these two teams met back in Week 7. I expect another good day from Brady, especially when he's playing in prime time. I think he really pumps up his game even more.
No concerns about having Gronk not playing?
No. Nope.
None. Who's gonna make up the yardage and
well,
touchdowns?
That's a good question, and I was going to save that question for the end of the segment, but we can certainly address it now. Well, no. We can address it now.
All right.
You know, I don't know if there's an answer. I know Vasanti Shenko is maybe practicing a little bit more this week, but maybe the answer is not a tight end. Maybe it's some more Julian Edelman and in three wide receiver sets with Welker, Lloyd, and Edelman.
I don't know, but there's 10 touchdowns that Gronk caught that someone's going to have to be catching the rest of the way. It's a touchdown every game, pretty much, Bill. You're going to have to find a new target. What's the status of Aaron Hernandez this week?
He's practicing the last couple weeks. He just is constantly ruled out
Kevin.
Saturday or Sunday morning before the game.
Kevin, you got any take on this?
We don't have the practice report yet from today, but he was, I think, listed as limited yesterday. And I would expect him to try. I would give him like a 75% chance to try to play.
Okay.
Well, I'm Hernandez ranked fifth this week.
But it's definitely something worth monitoring. And if you have him like I do, it's kind of nice that he's playing early, you know, on Thursday.
Yeah.
So if for some reason he doesn't play, you can just kind of shelve him. And then you have several days to figure out another plan.
That's right.
So that's the way I'm approaching it. I have him in there because I think if he does play, he'll definitely benefit from Gronk being gone as a fantasy player. But doesn't play, I just like the fact that I can shelve him, and then I have what? You have Friday and Saturday to kind of think about what direction you want to go in.
Gronk did have 6 receptions, 78 yards, and 2 touchdowns back in Week 7 when the Jets traveled up to New England. So there is a lot of production up for grabs. Todd, you said it. But I think the Patriots will be just fine, especially Brady.
All right. Well, I've got Brady in multiple leagues, counting on him, my friend. So I'm a little concerned. I have to admit, a little bit concerned.
I really. You think they're going to run the ball more?
Maybe. You know.
I got Ridley ranked 9th. Jets have the 20th ranked rush defense. Back in Week 7, Ridley had 17 carries, 65 yards, no touchdowns. Woodhead and Vereen ranked 44th and 45th this week. Ridley's top 10. I mean, he's top 10 in terms of the amount of workload he gets, top 10 in terms of his time on the field. Yeah, he had a down week in Week 11 against the Colts. I think he bounces back in Week 12, and, you know, maybe that's the answer. Maybe the Patriots start rushing the ball a little bit more than usual.
Well, we're going to find out. I think it'll be a good game. I agree with you. I think the Patriots will still score their points, get their yards. I just think they're going to change it around a little bit, distribute it a little bit differently. And I don't think we really have the answer yet, you know. Hernandez is the key. If he can play, that might be the answer. But if he can't play, and he hasn't obviously played or played much in the past month, right, it's up for grabs, man. There's yards. There's fantasy yards and touchdowns up for grabs in that offense.
Yep. All right, well, maybe those fantasy points go towards Wes Welker. I have him 6th on the FFCPI among wide receivers. Jets giving up the 5th least points to opposing WR's wide receivers. But I still think Welker is the guy to benefit the most. 6 receptions, 66 yards. He hasn't scored since Week 6. However, with Gronk out of the lineup, maybe it's a lot of rub routes and Welker starts getting open in the end zone.
Yeah, potentially. Like you said, he caught 6 balls for 66 yards the last time they played the Jets. So, you know, solid production. And Brady, by the way, I don't know if we mentioned this, he passed for 259 and 2 touchdowns last time they met. So not a kind of average day for him.
How about Brandon Lloyd? Kind of the odd man out last week. I have him ranked 37th this week. 1 reception, 6 yards the last time he played
Lloyd!
The Jets. And then Julian Edelman had a monster game, big punt return for a touchdown. Also had a receiving touchdown in Week 11. I think he gets a bump in his stock. We'll see a rise with Gronk out of the lineup. Maybe they start using 3 wide receiver sets more.
Maybe. I mean, let's hope Lloyd gets more involved. I mean, he's fantasy-wise, he's been a huge bust. Let's be honest.
Yeah, big time.
You know, he was one of those guys with a lot of upside in this offense, and he's just not being utilized too much. I mean, 3 touchdowns on the season. I'm looking here. He has 2 games over 70 yards receiving the whole year.
You know what I thought was an interesting move by the Patriots this weekend? They cut Deion Branch and they promoted Greg Salas. What's up with that?
Huh.
Why did they make that move?
It's a curious move.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Maybe they want when did they make that move?
This past weekend.
Before Gronk got hurt?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look at the Jets offense. You can't really get excited. I'm not sure how many people out there are using any of the New York Jets for your fantasy football team. Mark Sanchez, I have him ranked 17th this week. Patriots, they are giving up the second most points to quarterbacks still. I think Sanchez is just not a viable fantasy quarterback. The last time these two teams played, he had 328 yards, but only one touchdown, and he did have an interception. And a sack, and a fumble loss, too. At the end of the game, I think.
Let's hope that people are not relying on Sanchez out there, please.
You really shouldn't be. Sean Green, decent at the running back spot, have him ranked 24th, 54 yards and a touchdown back when the Jets played in New England. Green is a guy that you can use him as a flex. He kind of lets you down more than he excites you, though.
Last 5 weeks, he's gone down in production each and every week.
And that was after that monster game against the Colts, right? Where he had
Colts,
touchdowns.
He had 34. Yep, 34 fantasy points. Then Patriots, 14. Yeah. Dolphins, 11. 7, 6. So he's just going down, 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 down.
Not good. Well, one of the reasons why he's going down the last couple of weeks is Bilal Powell is back in action. And Jets head coach Rex Ryan says the Jets will use a running back rotation. But still, Powell, inconsistent at best from a fantasy football angle. He did have two touchdowns against the Rams. But I wouldn't expect that kind of production against the Pats.
No Tebow surprise this week?
No Tebow surprise.
No Tebow turkey? Turkey Tebow?
Not even in my top 30 for quarterbacks. Remember, all the quarterbacks are out of the bye. So every starter is ranked ahead of Tebow this week.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Yeah. But now, there are two fantasy options that people may be using out there, and that's Jeremy Curley, the wide receiver. Have him ranked inside the top 30. He's 29th. Patriots giving up the sixth most fantasy points to wide receivers. Last time these two teams played, 7 receptions, 120 yards, very solid performance from Curley. And then the tight end as well, Dustin Keller. I have him ranked 13th. 7 receptions, 93 yards the last time these two teams played. So he gets it done as well. Seems like those two players, Curley and Keller, are really the only options in that passing attack for the Jets at this point.
Well, and like you said, Bill, you know, if you do believe the Patriots are going to put up some points, and I think we do, I mean, the Jets are going to have to pass. They're going to be behind, more than likely. They're going to have to pass. And when they do that, Keller's a big option for them. I mean, the two of the best games, he had 7 and 11 targets, Bill. Those were in those high-scoring games against the Patriots and the Dolphins a couple weeks ago. So he does get the targets when they need to pass. I hope, but most of the time, the Jets try to – I don't know what they try to do on offense, but it's not pass.
Yeah.
What an awful team. What an awful, just an awful team, an awful season they're having.
How'd they beat the Rams?
Because it's the Rams.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm with you, though. I feel like the Rams should have won that game pretty easily.
I thought they were going to.
I feel like the Rams
are
just a better team.
The Jets had like a ridiculous special teams punt. Well, it was a fake punt. Tebow got the ball hiked to him, and then he did like a shuffle pass on fourth down. And I was like, oh, well, that just wraps up the Jets season right there. They're terrible. They have no idea what they're doing. But, and then all of a sudden, like, I check back on the game a couple minutes later, and they're winning. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
As a Patriots fan, it's going to scare you because you know that Rex is going to pull out, you know, all the tricks that he has, and Tony Sparano is going to pull out all his
bag of tricks. They don't have any tricks.
No, I just feel like they're going to throw the kitchen sink at you. I mean, they got nothing to lose, so that kind of concerns me.
I would not be concerned at all about the Jets.
All right.
Tebow turkey.
What is that?
Trick play with Tebow.
Oh.
Trip the fan Tebow. I can see it coming.
If Tebow kills us, then Fred Kirsch's head's going to explode.
If the Jets lose the next two games, is Tebow now the starter?
Oh. No, I think that, I mean, at this point, haven't we kind of figured out what happened there in New York? It was basically an owner PR move, and the coaches were like, okay, whatever, we're not going to play him. Isn't that basically what we've got there?
I mean, we kind of said that at the very beginning.
Right, but isn't that proven to be true at this point? I mean, we're 11 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
Guy hasn't done anything. Right?
Yeah, no, nothing.
And next year he'll be a part of a quarterback rotation in Jacksonville, right? With Chip Kelly as the head coach?
The guy that does nothing, Mike he Vick, seems to get a Colin lot Klein. Of blame for his team's downfalls.
What's that?
I'm saying, for a guy that does nothing, Tebow, he does nothing. Seems like all his teammates want to do is blast him. He doesn't do anything. How can you be blasting a guy that's not doing anything? He's not causing you to win, but he's also not forcing you to lose.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, man. He has
just silly.
He's thrown 7 passes all year.
Yeah.
So, 39 yards.
All right, now, so that was our kind of our breakdown of the fantasy relevant players from the Pats and the Jets. Now, does this game affect you since it's on Thanksgiving? Kevin, you brought up a great point with Hernandez. Now that Hernandez is playing early this week on Thursday night, we won't have to wait until Sunday to find out if he's active or inactive or not. We find out he's inactive on Thursday, take him out of the lineup, find a nice replacement by Sunday. So that gives us an extra cushion for Hernandez. But what about some of the other guys? I mean, if you're debating whether or not you should play someone like Sean Green, do you feel rushed into making your starting lineup decisions just because there's so many games on Thursday?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, most of the guys that I have in this game, or really it's just one guy, Tom Brady. I mean, I'm starting him.
Yeah, you're gonna. He's a must start. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no all question right,
well,
there.
I got in trouble with Sean Green, by the way, about 10 minutes before the show.
What
it was
hell, yeah?
So he had a conference call upstairs, I guess, with some of the New England media, and only one media member showed up.
Come on.
And so I'm sitting up there. I walked up there to go get a couple bottles of water. And, there's two guys sitting next to the conference call speaker. And I'm like, you have a conference call at this hour? And they're like, yeah, we have Sean Green. And I'm like, for one person? And the PR intern was like, well, yeah. And I go, yeah, shows you how much of a jag he is. And walked away. And the one media member that was there just sort of rolled his eyes at me like, who are you calling? Like, you know, that I was insulting him waiting for Sean Green.
Ha! Who wants to talk to Sean Green?
That's basically that basically was my attitude. I was like, what is this, mandatory or something? Jeez. I know. Wow. I wouldn't sit up there all afternoon while, you know, the rest of the media took off. You know, it's holiday week. You got things to do. You got to stuff your bird. You know, you got to make sure your table's ready, like Bill, for all his family members coming over.
That man's dedicated to his job.
Last thing I'd want to do is sit there till, you know, 4:30 and wait to talk to a Jag Jets running back. I'll tell you that much.
I guess. Very dedicated. Dedicated journalist.
He is dedicated. Well, I went to school with him, so I kind of got away with it a little bit. He was kind of a rival at school, so I just...
A rival?
He was. We had this... It's weird. I turned out to be the mutt of the crew, but when I went to UMass, we had about... I'd say there's four of us that were all in the same, like, sport journalism and sport writing classes.
Yeah.
And one is, like, a pretty prominent writer for the Herald and is on TV all the time. And another guy writes for Baseball America and does, like, a lot of scouting and stuff. Then there's this kid who writes, he's kind of lower level for the Herald, does a lot of weekend stuff and fill-in work. And then there's me, who just does nothing.
Dude, you don't think you had the best job out of all those guys?
I think I'm probably like third in line out of the four. So
you
like,
have you go you work at Gillette Stadium every day. That's not awesome in itself.
No, it's cool, but I mean, in terms of like, I don't know, in terms of prestige, I guess. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's not viewed as, you know, the highest.
You
out of the
produce
four.
All the Patriots radio shows.
I make
shows. That's
gold
awesome.
Radio every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:00. I tell you that much.
I think.
And when this is over, y'all be wearing gold plated diapers.
It sounds like you have the best job out of all of them.
Yeah, but
plus
it's
you're just, on the sidelines. You're on the sidelines every game day. How can you complain about your job and say that you have the third best job out of these guys that are writing for the Herald and writing for some paper, Baseball America, that I never even heard of?
Yeah, that's the by far the best part of my job. That's why I get out of bed every morning is for Sundays because those are
you're
the
on
best
the sidelines. You're running out of the tunnel with the team.
Yeah, no,
are
that's
you
awesome.
Nuts?
I'm not nuts.
Baseball America writer.
I'm telling
you,
I'm telling you. Well, I'm basically talking in terms of, so you know how you have to do all this like alumni stuff when you come out of school, and then if you get a half decent job, they always want something from you.
Yeah,
they want you to like talk to kids that are in
students.
Classes.
Yeah, they want
money from you. They want you to endorse them in whatever paper or publication you're in, all this stuff. And I just feel like they get a lot more, you know, of that type pub than I would, which is fine.
Who cares?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
care.
Seriously.
I'm just glad, you know, when they bang down my door asking for money every, you know, 6 months, I tell them no. Go away.
Syracuse doesn't ask me for money. They got too much of it already from me.
Yeah, no, that's the way I view. And to be honest, I think Bill, we're completely off on a tangent here. But when you're talking about like when you get a job nowadays, I just feel like it's so much more about like networking and who you know.
Yeah.
Being able to kind of find the right opportunity at the right time. Now, I'm not saying, if you're a complete dumbass, it's just not going to do you any good. But I feel like a lot of it is just networking and, you know, finding the right opportunity at the right time, as opposed to, you know, I got, you know, a AAA plus my junior year in oceanography. Like, who cares, you know?
Well, Kevin, luckily, if you weren't working for the Patriots, you wouldn't have met me. But now that you know me, you can network with me, and, you know, I'm a shot caller.
That's true. You are. You're a baller.
So there you go.
And Todd's just a crazy old man.
Todd's I did a shot get caller,
I was one for two.
I got your Christopher Walken reference in there, by the way.
It was good.
Yeah, I don't think Bill caught it.
Not at all. Oceanography, something like that?
Gold-plated diapers.
No, I didn't get that.
Good either. Line.
I could have used
there,
a little
Kevin.
More cowbell. I got to have more cowbell.
That's right.
I get that line.
I'll be wearing gold-plated diapers. On
I wanted to know how much of the show is scripted and how much of it is crazy make-em-ups and ad-libs, improvs.
That's what I feel like our show is.
Crazy ad-libs, improvs.
I'll have to get one. I promise you, before we get out of this show today, I'll find the gold-plated diapers line and we'll play it.
Yeah,
but you guys can see your show. I'm sorry, I pirated it.
No,
yeah.
I took the wheel of the Jolly Roger and just steered it right into a rock.
Talking about your competitors at UMass.
Yeah, man, it was tough. It's tough to cut your teeth out there in the middle of nowhere. Syracuse is like a very, it's a nice school. I mean, it has a lot of national attention for the athletics and their communications program.
We're like,
you're like the Harvard of communications, man.
We're like Penn State linebackers.
There you go.
Newhouse broadcasters like Penn State linebackers. It's like a factory.
It's like, where is it? So there's that one, and then isn't Northwestern big for journalism? Like the
Northwestern
McGill,
in Missouri.
Yeah, yep. School of Journalism or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not going to grad school because I'm not paying any more money.
Grad school?
I've had it. I have a couple buddies that chose to go to Northwestern for grad school, and it seemed like they just poured another like $40,000-$50,000 into, you know, a 2-year program, and they come out and they're selling like cell phones. And it's like,
right, and they're doing the same. They didn't learn anything.
I'm like, and you still don't have as good a job as I do.
Right. So if I go back to school, it's to become a lawyer or something.
Yeah, or like a doctor or dental
school. Right. It's not to go back to grad school and do the stuff that did for the last 4 years.
If you go to grad school and you get kind of a you know, pardon the if I'm insulting anyone here, but if you, and I'm not saying journalism is useless, but if you go to grad school with the intent of becoming something, and you just kind of abandon it a year or two after grad school, then you just wasted all that money.
Right.
And good luck trying to make up all that money to pay off all that debt in whatever, like, meaningless job that you get in a cubicle sitting somewhere.
That's why I stick to fantasy football, because it's what I know.
It's his wheelhouse, baby.
Fantasy football won't do anything else. He won't see me working at baseball radio, whatever the heck that guy, National Baseball News.
Baseball, I think it's like Baseball Prospectus or Baseball America.
Yeah,
or
whatever.
Something. They come up You'll with
find,
like the VORP and all
that good
stuff.
You can find me on Patriots.com. You can find me on Patriots.com, FootballNation.com, and FFChamps.com. That's where I'm at. All about the pigskin. I don't mess around with any other sport. And that's it.
And so it was said.
And so it was said. And so it'll be decided.
Yes. What do we have next on the program here?
Where are we at? All right, we just did the Patriots and Jets preview. Let's take a quick little break. We'll come back with our injury report. Very big list of injuries this week. Running backs were injured. Quarterbacks were injured. Wide receivers went down. Obviously, Gronk went down at the tight end position. So we'll go over the injury report. We'll take your telephone calls, 508-298-0398, and we're also answering emails, webradio@patriots.com. Plenty more fantasy football champs coming up next on Patriots.com radio.
From your fantasy football draft to the league championship, the fantasy football champs have you covered.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in at 508-298-0398.
That's right. We are back helping everyone with their fantasy football lineups for Week 12. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We'll also get to some emails in this segment, webradio@patriots.com. Todd, what do you say we open up the with Justin in Boston, who's on line one. Justin, what's going on, man? You're in a 12-team league. What's your question?
Yeah, but I have a question. Last week, because I lost Big Ben, I picked up Tannehill, and I'm thinking about dropping him this week. Would you add either Chad Henne, Russell Wilson, or Colin Kaepernick?
Well, we don't know if Kaepernick's going to play yet.
We
think he's going to play. We don't know if he's going to start. If Alex Smith is back in action, Jim Harbaugh says he's going to probably go with whoever has the hot hand. I've never heard of such a thing with a quarterback. I don't know how you get a hot hand when you're with a quarterback. Obviously, Kaepernick is hot right now because he played last night, Monday night game against the Bears. Alex Smith was inactive. So I wouldn't pick up Kaepernick just yet. We don't know if Alex Smith is not going to play. If Alex Smith is inactive, then Kaepernick is your best bet. But Russell Wilson against Miami, I'm not playing him. Chad Henne against the Titans is a pretty decent matchup. Titans can't stop the pass, 28th in terms of passing defense. So they're letting up a lot of points to opposing quarterbacks. But are those really your best options right now on the waiver wire? Kaepernick, Wilson, and Henne?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's Kaepernick, Henne, Sanchez, Locker, Wilson, like I told you, Sam Bradford, it's pretty thin. Brandon Whedon, yeah.
Wow.
I'll tell you what,
Sanchez.
Sanchez may be your best bet.
It might be.
I mean, the Patriots, any fantasy quarterback that is playing against the Patriots scores at least 15 points a game.
That's true.
You can't say that about some of the other guys. I mean, Andrew Luck had 19 points last week. Fitzpatrick had 23. Sam Bradford, when they played in London, had 12. That was the lowest total in terms of fantasy points that the Patriots have allowed. Sanchez had 17 against the Pats back in Week 7. So quarterbacks you mentioned, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, Sanchez sounds like the best bet.
Well, let's say it this way, Bill. Sanchez is probably the safest bet.
Yeah. You think Kaepernick has the most upside?
Kaepernick, if I knew Kaepernick was starting against the Saints,
I would love it.
I'm going with that all day over Sanchez, but we don't know that yet.
Now our guy Justin's in a tough spot.
Yeah,
Sanchez is playing on Thursday night.
My roster will lock on, I think the first game is at 12:30.
Your roster locks. This poor guy, Justin, with your roster lock. You got to get rid of that rule, dude. It's terrible.
I know. Seriously, I got to talk to my manager guy.
You got to talk to your manager guy. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what's your
What's your record, Justin?
Not too good. 4-7.
So this is a must win.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, my past couple of losses have been horrible. They've been like by either half a point or a point and a half.
What does your opponent look like this week? Is he you know, one of the
top
teams?
I can tell you 1 second.
I mean, is he one of the better teams in the league or mediocre?
Fluky. He has RG3, Michael Turner, Reggie Bush, Bell from the Lions, Megatron, Dwayne Bowe, Sanu from the Bengals, Owen Daniels, Ravens.
Justin, what's his record? What's his record in the league?
Oh, I'm sorry. 6-5.
All right, so you're kind of in the running with him for the last playoff spot. You're 2 games behind him. You have to beat him this week. If you want to play safe, go with Sanchez. Your roster locks anyway. You'll never know if Kaepernick's going to be the starter in the time that you need to set your roster.
No,
so
that's true.
I think you go with Sanchez.
The only other question I'll ask for you, Justin. How many guys do you think you could pick up? Do you think you could get both Kaepernick and Henny?
Oh, I probably could, yeah.
Because, Bill, what if he just says the hell with Sanchez and the low upside with him?
His roster locks at 12 on Thursday.
Yeah, pick up Kaepernick and Henny.
But what is that going to do for him?
Well, then by Sunday he can
roll the dice. His roster locks by Thursday at 12:30.
Oh, that starts – oh, jeez. I thought you just meant
something. Exactly, I know.
Oh, well, that's ridiculous.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I've been saying that for the last couple of weeks. It's a terrible rule. I've never heard of it. He's got to talk to his manager guy, as he so eloquently put it.
No. That's the best thing about fantasy. He's making that last-second switch.
Right. Yeah, so that does nothing for him. Even if he wanted to wait on Henny and Kaepernick, he can't because on Sunday, his team, whatever he puts it in on Thursday, that's his team.
Exactly.
All right. Well, what was your second question there, Justin? Go with Sanchez. He's the safest option.
Okay. Since I lost McGahee, basically for the season, for the fantasy season.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about dropping Brent Celek because I think probably Hernandez will be back this week, you know, Hernandez.
Right.
And also
right.
have Kyle Rudolph. So I'm thinking about dropping Brent Celek and probably adding another running back for depth, either Lance Ball, Jaquizz Rodgers, or Jalen Parmel. I think I'm saying that right, from the Jaguars.
Jalen Parmel. Ronnie Hillman's not available?
He is not. I already checked. In my first choice.
Are you in a PPR league?
Nope, standard.
I don't really like Quiz Rogers that much then. He's more of a reception kind of guy. Lance Ball, I mean, listen, I think everyone right now thinks Ronnie Hillman's the sexier pick. He's the explosive runner. He has more potential to hit that big run. Lance Ball's going to be in action a lot because his pass protection is a lot better than Ronnie Hillman at this point. Hillman, he's a rookie. Protecting Peyton Manning is the number one objective for any running back on third downs for the Broncos. So if Lance Ball is better at picking up the blitz than Ronnie Hillman, which he is at this point, that's who's going to be in the game at that point. So regardless of Hillman having this big explosive speed, big play potential, Ball may actually be in the game more. I don't think he's a bad ad. I like him more than Jalen Parmalee of the Jaguars, and you're not in a PPR league, so I like him more than Jaquizz Rodgers as well.
Also, for the running back, for the Broncos running back, what's going on with
Roshan Moreno. Don't even say it. He's not worth anything.
Yeah, I didn't think he was because he hasn't played in like week one or two.
Don't even bring up his name on the show, please. He's in that same level with JerMichael Finley.
Exactly.
All right. Justin, we appreciate your call. Good luck this weekend and happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Oh, thanks, you too.
Todd, yeah, do you understand that ridiculous rule now?
I remember it now.
His lineup locks on Thursday. Now, this week, there happens to be three games on Thursday, so whatever. He would have to make some lineup decisions anyway. But before this week, I mean, the poor guy thinks Aaron Hernandez is going to play. He probably plugs him in his lineup on Thursday night, and then come Sunday morning, he finds out Hernandez is inactive after practicing all week. That rule's got to go.
You know
if
what?
You're in a league with that kind of rule, you got to talk to your commissioner
that
about
league,
it.
That rule is ridiculous. If I'm in a league with that rule, Bill,
that's
you know
terrible.
What I do on draft day? Other than maybe Brady and Gronk, I don't draft any Patriots. Because all year long, Belichick is going to mess with you.
Right.
You're not going to know. You know what I'm saying?
All right, we got a couple emails to get to. Webradio@patriots.com. Our boy Higgins says he won seven in a row thanks to you guys and ffchamps.com. We appreciate that, Higgins. Congratulations. He's in a non-PPR league, Todd. He needs a win this week, and he's looking at some running backs. Waiver wire options. Beanie Wells. Jacksonville Jaguars running back Jalen Parmalee, Denver running back Ronnie Hillman, Lance Ball. Should he drop Rashad Mendenhall, Marcel Reese, or Darren McFadden to go after any of those guys?
Well, he can't drop Marcel Reese.
Not at this point, he can't.
No, not at all.
And I think McFadden might be coming back this week, but we've heard that before when it comes to Darren McFadden.
Yeah.
And, you know, Reese is performing like an animal right now. Does he drop Mendenhall to go after Ronnie Hillman? I don't know. I mean, I don't think Mendenhall can do a whole lot, especially without Ben Roethlisberger under center. I think teams are focusing
Steelers
on stopping
are a mess
the run.
Right now, Bill.
Their backfield, you said it. It's such a mess. Maybe he drops Mendenhall to go after Ronnie Hillman.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's a little more upside with Hillman. Maybe. Yeah. But like you said, you just explained it very well, you know, how they're going to utilize Hillman. We don't really know yet. How long is McGahee out for?
The rest of the season. 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, he's not back. So, I guess. I mean, only because the Steelers are such a mess, Bill. I mean, you got Big Ben hurt. Antonio Brown's been hurt on the outside. Then you got that crazy shuffle at running back. You know, can you really trust Mendenhall? Probably not. With Hillman, he's more of an unknown. He's a rookie. Maybe he can give you a splash for a couple of weeks, you know?
Right.
But I definitely wouldn't dump Reese. And if McFadden's coming back, like he probably is in the next couple of weeks, you can't really dump him either, you know?
Right. You got to hold on to
so
him.
So that's what I would do.
All right, another question from Higgins. He has Greg Jennings, Danny Amendola, Calvin Johnson, and Stevie Johnson. Should he cut any of those guys for Justin Blackmon or Cecil Shorts? The fact he even put Calvin Johnson and Stevie Johnson on this list almost makes me not want to answer it.
Well, I think he was just kind of giving you an idea for his entire wide receiver core. So how about Cecil Shorts, man?
Coming on strong.
Yeah.
Top 10 fantasy player the last month of the season. I think he cuts Greg Jennings. I mean,
there's
no sign of him coming back.
No. No, exactly. I agree.
Does he go after Shorts or Blackmon? I think Shorts is the guy to get.
Shorts, but I'd put both of them in your waiver wire queue, you know?
Yeah, try to go after both of them.
Yeah, go after both. Put Shorts number one, Blackmon two. See what you can get.
All right, now
Henny's the quarterback there.
All right, good luck to Higgins this week. Says he's on a 7-game winning streak. Now, our boy Joaquin from Norway, Todd, listen to this. I don't know if he's messing with us or he just has some really bad luck. But he has Rob Gronkowski.
Out.
Willis McGahee.
Out.
And LeSean McCoy on his roster.
Out.
So the three biggest injuries in Week 11, our boy Joaquin in Norway has all of them. Now, it's only an 8-team league. He's got a pretty decent squad even without those three guys because in 8-team leagues, I mean, you know, it's really not extremely competitive. Should he pick up Bryce Brown this week? He's not going to be able to get Hillman because he has the fifth waiver wire spot. He thinks that Hillman's going to go number one. Should he get Bryce Brown? That's who McCoy's handcuff is at this point.
I mean, go out and try to get him, but don't expect, you know, gangbusters out of him. Look at LeSean McCoy's production. It's been terrible the past few weeks.
And it's because of that. The Eagles line is so bad.
The Eagles can't do anything. I mean, they got no O-line. You can go out and get him, but keep your expectations in check, you know. How many times are the Eagles going to be in the red zone anymore?
Not often.
No, he's not. And Bryce Brown is not going to. He's not a game breaker, so he's not going to break one.
Right.
Now they did use him even when McCoy was healthy. They did use him inside the five quite a bit, which was kind of curious to the Sean McCoy owners.
Right.
But they did give him some goal line carries, so they do trust him around the goal line. I just don't think they're going to be around the goal line too much. But hey, he's probably the starting running back for an NFL team, so give him a shot. But keep your expectations in check.
All right, we got a quick trade question from Josh T. He would be receiving Calvin Johnson and Darren Sproles, but in order to get those two guys, he has to give up Marcel Reese, Alfred Morris, and Stevie Johnson. Wow, two solid running backs the last couple weeks. Alfred Morris has been solid all season. Stevie Johnson, great matchup this weekend against the Colts. Obviously, Calvin Johnson, number one wide receiver in the league. But is he giving up too much considering Darren Sproles is still not back yet from that broken hand surgery?
Well, I'm looking at his roster because he sent us his roster as well.
Yeah.
All right, so his running backs, he's got Ray Rice.
Right.
Fred Jackson and Darren McFadden.
So he's pretty set.
Pretty set.
I mean, Fred Jackson's coming back this week.
Yeah, but, I mean, think about it. If he gets Sproles, he's got Ray Rice who's healthy and three injured guys.
Yeah, that's not good.
Sproles, Jackson, and McFadden. So that's a roll of the dice. Now,
whereas right now he's starting Rice, Morris, and Reese.
Yep.
Yeah. And, I mean, his receivers are good. Eric Decker and Reggie Wayne. Calvin Johnson improves his team, but not with Fred Jackson and McFadden being hurt. And Sproles, we don't know if he's going to play.
Is it PPR? Right, we don't know that.
He doesn't mention.
If it's PPR, it's pretty enticing. If you can start three wide receivers, you know, you can start Decker, Reggie Wayne, and Calvin.
Right.
And
but then who's he starting at running back? He has no one to start at running back. Ray Rice, and that's it.
And Fred Jackson
might not play this week. Fred Jackson might be back in action. Might be back in action.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, just a little fantasy update here. Some news came across my desk. Aaron Hernandez did practice today, but still in a limited fashion.
Great. Dave Vasantyshenko ready to plug and play, baby. Is his name now Vasant, or did he go back to Vasanti?
I don't know.
So I remember he changed it to Vasant for
a while. Remember the story on him, the Simmons story?
Yeah.
About how he had the biggest you-know-what in the NFL?
Right.
Terrifying. I don't go near that locker room ever since we signed him.
There you go.
Do you get fantasy points for that?
You should.
No, I just stay in my studio. I don't want
to. In
any
a
part
female
of that.
League, you do.
There's a joke in there. Yeah, I thought Kevin would be on his toes on that one, but
he's not.
Nah.
Anyway, I don't like this trade only because his running back's too vulnerable, even with Ray Rice. If I knew Darren Sproles was going to play this week, I would say do it. But until we know more about Sproles, I wouldn't
put it this way. I mean, basically what he's doing here is he has an extremely deep team if he doesn't make the trade, right?
Right.
Look how deep his team is. He's off
the board. I think you want that for the playoffs, though.
Yeah, he's
got
a lot of depth, which is really nice. Basically what he's doing here, he's getting Calvin Johnson. He's getting a huge star, and he's giving up his depth. That's basically what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We kind of need to know more about where he is and his standings and, you know, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like if he's like needs to win every week and he just needs to go, you know, balls out.
Yeah.
Then maybe you do it. You know what I mean? But if you've got a winner already, I wouldn't mess with it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
If he's sitting there at 7-3 and he's pretty much gonna make the playoffs, then you got all this depth. I would just keep what you got.
Yeah. All right. A couple more trade questions. This one comes from Harry in Vegas. He has both Peyton Manning and RG3 as his quarterbacks. He wants to trade one of them for the upcoming playoff schedule. Now, which one should he trade, and what kind of player, which one should he trade, and who is he going to get more value from by trading? So, in other words, you know, if he keeps RG3, and even though Peyton Manning may be the better option to hold on to, maybe he gets more value in return if he gives up Peyton Manning. What do you think about that?
Well, let's look at the playoffs for these two guys.
Yeah.
Before we get into that. Peyton Manning has, if you want to count, 14, 15, and 16. Okay.
Right.
Let's just go with that. Peyton plays Oakland, Baltimore, and Cleveland.
Oakland and Cleveland are great matchups.
Right. RG3 has Baltimore, Cleveland, and Philly.
Baltimore for both of those teams, huh?
Both of them have nice schedules.
Yeah. I think Peyton Manning is the guy to keep on my squad. Give up RG3.
Yeah,
might
well,
get, actually, I think Peyton Manning, not only do I think Peyton Manning is the better option to keep, but he actually may get more in return for RG3.
I was just going to say that. RG3 is the sexier name. Both of them are pretty sexy, quite honestly. But RG3 is the really super mega hot name right now. He might get more in return. Now, what was his question? What should he go after?
He just wanted to know which one should he keep and who would be the better option as trade bait.
I think RG3 is a better option for trade bait, and both of them have beautiful playoff schedules.
Right.
So if you think you're in the playoffs, you're going to be good with either one of them.
This one's for Harry in Vegas. I think what he should do is find out what he would get in return for Peyton Manning, find out what he would get in return for RG3, and then make the decision based off that, because he can't go wrong with either one as his starting running quarterback the rest of the season. RG3 and Peyton Manning are going to still put up top five fantasy quarterback numbers the rest of the year. So we really can't go wrong. So it comes down to which quarterback gets him more of a return. I would make my decision based off that.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
I agree.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Our boy Olivier, I wonder if he's back from Brazil. What's up, Olivier? How you doing, man? How was your trip?
I was good. It was good. After I hung up with you, I just went to the airport, and I guess 6,000 miles later, I was home.
How was the flight?
It's cramped, you know, when you fly sardine class, you know, and the fat guy next to you and snore all night long, you know, you think you're sleeping next to Rex Ryan.
Oh, jeez.
Olivier, how can we help you with your fantasy team this week?
You know, actually, I did so bad last week in my fantasy that I have to give you carte blanche to make up my roster this week. I did fairly well with the quarterbacks, with Luck and Palmer, even though, you know, they both lost terribly. You know, I got some nice points, but at this point, I'm not really sure who should I pick up on the quarterback play for this week in terms of perfect matchups. I heard you say, Manning, but I can pick him up if I want to.
What are you doing, this ESPN Gridiron Challenge?
Yes.
Is there a way that I can just join this real quick and I can see if I can... Let me see if I can just set your roster real quick. All right, I got it right in front of me.
Yeah.
All right, so you got Drew Brees. Where is their budget?
50 mil.
Right, but how do I see the amount they cost?
If you click on the player, you'll see the number.
So Drew Brees is $7.
Yes, 7 mil. Yeah.
Yeah. 7 mil. All right.
7.9, actually.
Right. So you need a solid guy, and you need a couple of...
I just need two guys, and then the same thing goes with the running backs, the wide receivers, one tight end, a kicker, and a defense. Right now I have Andrew Luck and Carson Palmer for my two main quarterbacks.
Both of those are really good options, and I'm sure Carson Palmer is not as expensive. Neither is Andrew Luck. I'm looking at them. They're 10th and 11th on this list. Yeah. I like both Andrew Luck and I like Carson Palmer. For running backs, why don't you go after Stephen Ridley this week? Has a great matchup against the Jets.
Really?
Can you use the players from Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
All right, so go after Stephen Ridley. And then another running back that I like this week, who's actually a sneaky play, I'm sure, again, he's going to be cheap guy, is Marcel Reese. He seems to be getting it done for the Raiders.
Yeah, I picked him up, actually. I have him and also have Doug Martin, so I can substitute Martin for Ridley.
Actually, no, keep Martin. He's my number one. I didn't know Martin was available for
inside
your budget.
Already.
Martin's my number one running back this week on FFChamps.com. And by the way, Olivier, you can get a free membership to FFChamps.com for the rest of the season if you prepay for 2013. I suggest you do it because I know you're a fantasy addict like a lot of our listeners out there.
You know, actually, even if I didn't have anything for free, I'd still buy it so you guys can make some.
Yeah, there you go. It's free for 2012, and then you just prepay for 2013.
I'm filthy.
I had to think to myself for a second, why is that stupid hamster music playing? And then I realized Doug Martin has the worst nickname in sports.
We should stop this thing. By the way, I'm not filthy rich, but thanks for the vote of confidence, Kevin.
You're not taking your own personal Learjet down to Brazil?
No, unfortunately not. I took my wife. Just kidding.
Just kidding. All right, so I like Doug Martin. I like Marcel Reese. And then for wide receivers, anyone from the Packers.
Moore, and he really, 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 really did bad.
Don't pick Denarius Moore. Love Randall Cobb this week against the Giants.
Yep.
I like Dez Bryant or Miles Austin, either one of them against the Washington Redskins. So whoever one of those guys fits in your budget. And then if they're too expensive, go after a guy like Cecil Shorts or maybe T.Y. Hillen.
Yeah,
T.Y. Hillen, no Donnie Avery this week. He's really cheap, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Top five fantasy receiver the last 3 weeks.
What about Harry Douglas? Good, bad?
No.
Terrible.
Just listen to my words.
Yes,
T.Y. Hillen, Dez Bryant, Randall Cobb, Miles Austin, one of those four, two of those four guys.
Yes, I'm listening to your words as if they came from the Bible. I'm suspended to your lips.
All right, good. The Harry Douglas, you got to be kidding me with that one.
What about the tight end for Antonio Gates? Vincente Gates, whatever he goes with.
Vincente Shanko. I'm not starting him. I'm not starting Antonio Gates either, though.
What about
Brandon Myers from Oakland or Jermaine Gresham from Cincinnati? Those should be two cheap guys that I like this week.
Myers and who? Sorry?
Jermaine Gresham.
Gresham, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could.
Do those fit in your budget?
I'm not sure. I need to do the calculation afterwards, but I'll try to figure out what I can pick up actually with the money that I have left.
And I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
You can email us webradio@patriots.com, and I can kind of do more customization because this is you're in an interesting league here where you have a different team every week and you have to go by a budget. So email in webradio@patriots.com. And I'll email you back personally and try to help you out with gridiron challenge.
That's fantastic.
All right,
what about the defense, Dallas?
Oh, the defense, sure.
This week?
Yeah, Dallas is a good one against the Redskins, sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. What about the kicker?
Kicker?
I have Medlock, the cheapest one of all.
Who?
Medlock.
From Carolina?
Yes.
No.
I know, I agree.
Can you get my boy Lawrence Trues Tynes?
How about Shane Graham or Lawrence Tynes?
What about Shane Falco?
No.
No, just kidding.
This is not a movie.
Yes. No, I cannot pick them up. But I could get John Casey, maybe, or Legatron, Zerline.
Yeah, pick up Greg Zerline, sure. Yeah. Playing against the Cardinals, yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Defense, and you're saying to go with the Cowboys? Yeah, I guess that's all right.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I almost went with the Cincinnati Bengals last week, and I guess they did a little bit better. It looks like they could do better also against, what do they play, Oakland?
Yeah, go with the Bengals this weekend. They're playing Oakland.
Yeah, they should do better, I agree.
All right, Olivier, send me that email, and I'll help you out a little bit more. It's kind of tough with this
league
you're doing because you have
a different
team.
And by the way, guys, I want to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving.
Same goes to you, brother.
Thank you.
And by the way, I did not send the waffles because I'm going to get stuck in the mail, so they will be... I guess leaving on Friday, you should have them by Tuesday next week for your show.
Well, yeah, you're really only giving them to Kevin since I'm not ever up there. I'm not going to get these waffles.
Well, that's not true because I have prepared a pack with everyone's get a bag. You have a bag and Todd has a bag. So what Kevin should do is he should give it to you, send it to where you are.
Kevin's going
to
do is eat all the waffles.
I'm glad you told us that, Olivier, because I would have just expected that, you know, they showed up at Gillette and that's fine. Those guys got them. But now that I know I have my own personal bag of waffles waiting for me,
Kevin
is now responsible to send those waffles my way. I'm looking forward to it.
No,
I'm very happy you brought that up.
Yes, absolutely. And I did it on air.
Yes.
That's right.
So we have it recorded. Excellent. I love it.
All right, guys. Thanks for
all right, Olivia. We got to take off, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thanks
for calling
in. Bye.
I cleverly waited until he was gone, and so we didn't ask how many waffles are in each bag.
Oh.
Outsmarted again.
No. We'll see. We got to take a quick...
Oh, God.
We got to take a quick break before we bring on Carrie, or can we just bring him on now?
Just bring him. Let's just do it.
Let's just do it, right?
Can I play his little intro thing, though?
What's that?
Can I play his little intro?
Play the intro. Play the intro. You're as cold
as ice. You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the cold, hard football facts right here on Football Nation.
Football Nation. It's okay.
Kerry, thanks so much. Kerry Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com joining us. Kerry, it's been a wacky, wild, wonderful, out-of-control show. We're a little bit behind time. We appreciate you holding for so long. But it is an absolute pleasure to be speaking with
you. Well, it's all good, and I got to admit that song is a much better intro than when I go on NewYorkJets.com and I play "It's Raining Men, Hallelujah." So
no, is that what you get?
Sorry, that's my song, man. That's my song right there. It's cold as ice, you know.
Ah, that's why we picked it.
So what's going on, gentlemen? It's been it's a crazy week. It's obviously probably the most interesting week of the season, right? Because everything's cramped in. We got three games coming up Thursday. We call this at Cold Hard Football Facts, guys, the Pigskin High Holidays. The height of, you know, all the college rivalries of this weekend. You got big NFL games. You got football Thursday. You got football Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Friday. And then here in New England, of course, we have Thanksgiving football all morning Thursday, all across the state. So these are the Pigskin High Holidays, guys, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Now, Kerry, are you doing your Thanksgiving tailgating show? Remember last year you went to Gillette on Thanksgiving or close to it?
Yeah, we have
did this whole Thanksgiving Day feast from the parking lot.
We have a show called a Thanksgiving tailgate. Simple as that, a Thanksgiving tailgate. What we do, guys, is show fans how to cook a complete Thanksgiving dinner in the parking lot right there at Gillette Stadium. And it'll be on, Thursday morning, Thanksgiving. It was on over the weekend, too. It'll be on again Thursday morning, 10 a.m. while everyone's home cooking dinner and maybe watching the parade. Flip over to New England Cable News at 10 a.m. and watch a Thanksgiving tailgate, how to do a complete dinner with deep-fried turkey, homemade cranberry sauce in a mason jar. We have vegetables steamed on the grill. We have, for an appetizer, bratwurst with a recipe straight from the executive chef at Lambeau Field. Wow. And then, guys, my culinary masterpiece, deep-fried stuffing, which is kind of took on a life of its own this week around the interwebs. So it's quite a show, and we have a lot of fun doing the Thanksgiving thing.
Yeah, now, you got some people in Hollywood that are interested in your deep-fried balls, right, Kerry?
Well, Todd, I may look like a humble man from Quincy, but you know we move in big circles. Yeah, Elizabeth Banks, the actress who was in a lot of great movies. It was on her website, and she tweeted about it. And we got even Hollywood interested in deep fried stuffing. Like I said, it's a masterpiece, Todd. I don't throw around those words lightly. Not like Olivier saying he follows Bill like Bill is the Bible himself, which was a great line.
Hey! Don't make fun of my followers, Kerry.
No, that was a great line. I didn't know if you're serious or busting your nuggets. That was a great call.
The dude's a man. I love him. My homeboy, brother from another mother. My paisan.
So what game interests you guys on Thursday specifically, guys, on Thanksgiving? What game intrigues you from a fantasy perspective?
I mean, from a fantasy perspective, the Patriots are obviously the number one scoring team in the NFL right now. They're putting up a lot of points. But you think of the Jets, and they don't offer a whole lot in terms of fantasy. Cowboys and Redskins is pretty intriguing with the way RG3 has been playing. Yep. And Dez Bryant starting to come alive. I kind of like that one. And then even the Texans and the Lions, Arian Foster, Andre Johnson, Matt Schaub coming off big games, Lions, Mikel LeShore, Calvin Johnson. So I think out of all the games, the Patriots and Jets may be the least interesting in terms of fantasy football.
Yeah, probably. And you know what, though? This is how cool this is. For years, that Thanksgiving slate was terrible. There was never a good game on. It was usually Detroit getting their ass kicked by somebody. And Dallas usually playing a second-rate team. And, you know, the last couple of years, specifically this year, we got three pretty good games, guys.
Yeah, we do.
Each team, Houston has something to play for. Detroit has something to play for. Dallas has something to play for. Washington, you know, I mean, you could say they have an outside chance at something. You know, they're only two games out in the division. You know, the Patriots and the Jets still have something to play for. The Patriots are playing for playoff seeding. The Jets playing for their lives. I mean, these should be, you know, three pretty good games with six teams who really still have something to play for, and we haven't always seen that on Thanksgiving, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We were looking at last year's games, Kerry. Same thing. We had a pretty good slate of games last year as well, so the league is starting to get something right here. And, of course, you know, they make these schedules months and months and months in advance, so they never can truly tell, you know, if a team's going to be a stinker or not, but they've gotten it right the last couple of years. I mean, last year you had the Harbaugh, remember?
Yep.
Harbaugh.
Yeah,
that was
the Thanksgiving night game, right? The Harbaugh Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that was a great. I mean, obviously, Baltimore got the best of San Francisco that night. But I mean, how many storylines were in that game? That was a pretty compelling game. Can I throw some compelling numbers, guys? Some compelling.
That game was terrible, by the way. I don't know if you were watching the same game I was, but from a fantasy football angle, that game sucked.
Oh, it did. No, but I meant at least it was a compelling. There was compelling storylines. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
Where the Ravens have, you know, 10, 12.
Nine sacks or something like that.
Yeah,
Ray Rice didn't even get over 80 yards. It was terrible.
There was reason to watch. There were compelling storylines to it. And the game might not have played out the way we hope. But those are two AFC, you know, two conference, you know, title game finalists. That wasn't a, you know, the game itself may not have played out, but at least it was two compelling teams and the whole, you know, Harbaugh brother relationship. So
right,
even
and they
in
did,
that respect, it was much better than many of the games we've all.
And you said it; they did make it to the AFC and NFC championships. Those two teams, and I remember Todd and I we discussed this last year, and we said if those two teams make it to the Super Bowl, it will be the most boring Super Bowl in the history of the NFL. So good thing that didn't happen.
Well, you know, how about San Francisco said they were a pretty good shot this year, guys. I mean, that was a great game Monday night. But let me turn it to Thanksgiving. Can I throw out some? A little bit off the fantasy angle, but can I throw out some compelling numbers from the Thursday night game that Patriots fans and will be interested in?
Go for it,
guys. As you know, at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider, right, our premium product, we got something called Spreadopedia. We track the point spread and over underlines and game results of every game since 1978. You want to check it out? Go to Code Hard Football Facts and click the Insider button. But we found some compelling numbers about how great the Patriots' offense has been and how tough that defense has been. The Patriots are on an eight-game winning streak, hitting the over in games. Obviously, you know, the combined total. But in two of those games, the Patriots topped the over-under line, by themselves. The over-under was 54. The Patriots
scored
59.
That's pretty cool.
Huh. The over-under against the Bills, the first meeting earlier in the season, was 48. The Patriots scored 52. And then against the Rams in London, the over-under was 46. The Patriots alone scored 45. Eight-game over winning streak in Patriots games. Not only that, they're smashing it by an average of 2 touchdowns per game.
Well, the over-under for this game is 48.
But let me tie it back to Jets-Patriots. So Bill Belichick, Rex Ryan. The over has hit. The over is 6-1-1. Six times the over, once the under, and once a push. These teams are scoring a lot of points. I think the reputation is that these guys play, you know, defensive minded coaches in a tough divisional rivalry, play defensive football. But the over has hit 6 of 8 times in the 8 meetings between Rex Ryan and Bill Belichick.
Wow.
I expect probably a lot of points Thursday night, guys, if these trends hold true. The Patriots are going to put up plenty of points like they usually do, and that soft defense will allow the Jets to probably find their way into the end zone a few times as well.
Very interesting. Yeah, I think from a fantasy football angle, obviously only the Patriots are viable candidates for that Sunday night game.
Yeah, and, you know, and you wonder, I mean, how are you looking at this, Bill, with Gronkowski out? How do you play this yourself? And I know I'm sure you got Gronkowski in a couple of your fantasy teams. What are you doing? What's the strategy? But then what can Patriots fans expect someone to pick up that production?
Well, I can't tell you what the Patriots are going to do in terms of replacing the production, but I can tell you there are some viable candidates out there for anyone that lost Rob Gronkowski for your fantasy football team. You look at a guy like Dallas Clark from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, had 58 yards back-to-back weeks with a touchdown. Dwayne Allen, the rookie for the Indianapolis Colts, 6 receptions, almost 70 yards against the Pats in Week 11. Allen's a guy that has been targeted a lot by Andrew Luck. And then Brandon Myers from the Oakland Raiders, 6 receptions, 55 yards and a touchdown last week. He's been getting it done consistently. And then last but not least, Jermaine Gresham from the Cincinnati Bengals. He's another tight end who had 6 receptions and 69 yards last week. So listen, Rob Gronkowski is the number one tight end in fantasy football. You are a fool if you think you're going to go out and on the waiver wire and find a guy that can even come close to what he produced. However, there are players out there that have enough potential where they can get you by. You're not going to find another Gronk. You're just looking to get by at this point.
Yeah, and you know, you're kind of foolish if you think you can get replacements for Gronk, because historically, guys, and even in modern times, tight ends really do not catch a lot of passes, or they don't score a lot specifically. And even in recent times, Gronkowski's really a notable exception with his, you know, 37 touchdown catches in 2.5 seasons, guys.
It's incredible.
Well, let me show you how incredible it is. We looked up the career touchdowns of every Hall of Fame tight end, every one of them. There are 8 tight ends in the Hall of Fame, okay? NFL Network named one of them, John Mackey, the former Baltimore Colts great, named him the greatest tight end of all time. He caught 38 touchdowns in his career.
Gronk has that in what, 37. 2.5 years?
Jackie Smith.
Yeah, Kerry, I'm looking at your chart. I read this article this morning. Yeah. It's an awesome article. Here's the thing that blows you away. When you look at this spreadsheet that you've put into the article here, it's the number of years of the careers of these other guys. You know, Shannon Sharpe, all these guys. Bill, 9 years, 10, 11, 12, 16, 14 years. John Mackey, 10 years, 38 touchdowns. And then you see Rob Gronkowski in there, Bill. 3 years, 37 touchdowns.
Guys, an average tight end would score 3, 4, 5 touchdowns per season. Okay,
In all fairness, Tony Gonzalez not on this list yet.
No,
you mentioned him.
16 NFL seasons, 101 touchdown passes. Gronkowski, you know, at this rate, will have that after 6 seasons.
Right.
I mean, it's not even close. Not only that, look at that story, guys. I don't have it in front of me, but off the top of my head, Jerry Rice, the greatest wide receiver of all time, averaged 0.65 touchdowns per game in his career. Gronkowski, 0.9 touchdowns in his career. Hmm. You know, I mean, it just blowing away, like, receiver numbers for touchdowns. And like I said, tight ends don't usually score numbers at that level. It's just incredible. So you're not going to get that production. I'm looking up the numbers right now. Jerry Rice averaged 10 touchdowns per season in his career, and Gronkowski averages 12.3 already.
Wow.
I mean, you know, we're talking Jerry Rice, guys. We're not talking your average wide receiver. So you're not going to replace him. You just don't even think about replacing that production. You're screwed if you have Gronkowski. But you can find viable options, like, you know, Gresham is a good one, and a bunch of the other guys you mentioned are a good one. But just really historic what we're seeing right now. And, you know, a testament to his great talent and obviously Tom Brady's.
We'll see how the Patriots try to make up for the loss of Gronk. He had 2 touchdowns the last time the Jets and Patriots went at it. So that's 2 touchdowns up for grabs. Maybe it's Welker. Maybe it's Lloyd. Maybe Hernandez gets back on the field. We'll have to wait and see. Kerry, sounds like you're going to be very busy this weekend. We want to thank you for calling in to our fantasy football show. No cold hard football fact show for you on Wednesday, but you will be back on Patriots.com radio after the Thanksgiving holiday. You can listen to his show every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Patriots.com radio. Kerry, thanks so much for joining us, and happy Thanksgiving.
All right, gentlemen, happy Thanksgiving. Have a good night.
Kerry Byrne, Bill, this is his week.
He loves it. He started cooking for Thanksgiving last weekend. I saw his grocery list or some of the photos he uploaded on Facebook. He's like an animal. He loves the tailgating. He loves all football. You heard him. He's going to watch high school football on Sunday morning, on Thursday morning. Then he's probably going to watch all the NFL games. Then he's probably going to watch some college game on Friday night. Then all the college games on Saturday. And then more NFL on Sunday. That's 5 days of football, overeating, and I'm sure a lot of beer consumption. Yeah.
Oh, man. Kevin's having a good time over there on the soundboard. Yeah, you know, this, like I said, this is Kerry's time of year, man, when food and football collide. And so he's the man. He is the man.
All right, we're getting a couple more. It's funny because he's fat.
That wasn't necessary.
Come on, he loves it. He embraces it.
Oh. What do we got here? How much time do we got in this program?
10 more minutes left. We've got a couple trade questions. I want to help everyone out as possible. Webradiopatriots.com is how you email us now. But if you're listening to us live on demand via the podcast, just hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps. And don't forget, we have a great offer right now at FFChamps.com. Free for 2012 if you prepay for 2013. Our friend Mike in East Haven, Connecticut wants to know, should he trade Stephen Ridley and Julio Jones for Ray Rice?
Ooh, yes. On the surface, yes. He's getting Ray Rice.
Yeah, he's getting Ray Rice.
Julio Jones has been a disappointment this year. He's been banged up. Stephen Ridley's up and down. You know, we've talked about a million times with the Patriots. He's getting Ray Rice. I'm doing it.
I think he should do that as well. Another trade question from Joachim in Norway. He gives Victor Cruz and LeSean McCoy. He would be getting in return Jamal Charles, Darren McFadden, and Nate Washington.
Why don't you go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff ices? Hoo-yah!
Well, Bill, I mean, I don't know.
I think he does the trade. Charles
probably,
McFadden, yeah.
I mean, you know, hopefully he has some other wide receivers, though, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, he gets a healthy guy in Jamal Charles. He gets another banged-up guy in McFadden. He's trading away a banged-up guy. I guess I would do it. But I'd want to make sure I have at least some other wide receivers there before I do that trade.
All right, last email of the day is from Colonial Village. He desperately needs a quarterback.
He wants you to wash his clothes.
It's a laundromat.
Or he wants you to wash your clothes there.
Colonial Village laundromat.
The email's from a laundromat.
Maybe someone there is doing their laundry or something, and they want some fantasy advice.
I love it.
Anyway, they want to know if they should do a deal for Carson Palmer. His opponent is apparently crazy. He wants A.J. Green in return for Carson Palmer. That's absurd.
Yeah.
So instead, I think he should go to the waiver wire and either go after Mark Sanchez or Russell Wilson. He says Chad Henne, but we'll see how much longer he's the starter for the Jags.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Sanchez or Wilson, right?
Yeah.
Maybe go with Wilson. Give the edge to Wilson.
For this week or for rest of the way?
Rest of the way.
I'd give the edge to Wilson. Yeah. I can't pump up Mark Sanchez to anyone long term. No way.
All right. I mentioned that we would quickly go over the waiver wire only because there were so many injuries this week, and I really want to do that because I think a lot of people may be struggling out there. If you lost Willis McGahee, try to go after Ronnie Brown. If you can't get Ronnie Brown, go after Lance Ball, because I think Lance Ball is going to be a viable option. It's going to be a split with Ronnie Hillman and Lance Ball going forward. McGahee's out 6 to 8 weeks. So if you can't get McGahee, go after Lance Ball. Now, if you lost LeSean McCoy, you may want to go after Bryce Brown. But remember, the Eagles are falling apart. Their offensive line is just terrible. A lot of injuries. They're starting a backup rookie quarterback. It seems like Andy Reid is on his way out any day now. So, again, if you lost McCoy, you may want to pick up Bryce Brown. Just don't expect a whole lot. Right, Todd?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, on top of that, even if things were going well, they don't run the ball enough, Bill.
Right.
They still throw it 46 times a game, even when the game is it's in doubt. They're throwing the ball more than running it. So expectations in check with Bryce.
If you're in a deeper league and you need some more help at running back, Shane Vereen from the Patriots got 11 carries last week. Should see an expanded role going forward behind Stephen Ridley. And then how about Jalen Parmalee from the Jacksonville Jaguars? With Maurice Jones-Drew out, Parmalee is now the starter for the Jags. He passed Rashad Jennings 82 yards against the Houston Texans in Week 11. A couple wide receivers you may want to pick up this week. Justin Blackmon of the Jacksonville Jaguars, 236 yards and a touchdown. Talked about him a lot earlier in the show. And then how about Edelman playing against the Jets on a short week? Rob Gronkowski not in action. Maybe the Patriots go three wide receiver sets a lot more. Five receptions, 58 yards and a touchdown against the Colts. And if you get any special team yards or punt return yardage, you get points for that. Edelman had a punt return for a touchdown against the Colts in Week 11. So I think Edelman's actually a pretty solid option to pick up this week if you're in one of those leagues where you get rewarded for special teams performance.
Yeah, I agree. He's very Randall Cobb-esque.
He is.
You know what I mean?
He is.
Like, he's
versatile.
He can produce when called upon. So, if you're in dire straits, not a bad guy to pick up.
All right, and again, Rob Gronkowski, the biggest injury, not only for Patriot fans, but for fantasy football managers that had him on their roster. And I mentioned it when we were talking to Kerry. Dallas Clark for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is coming alive. Dwayne Allen from the Colts is getting a ton of targets from Andrew Luck and has a really tasty schedule the remainder of the season. Brandon Myers from the Oakland Raiders is getting a lot of targets from Carson Palmer, and he's scoring the last couple weeks. Even though he did suffer a concussion 2 weeks ago, he was back in action in Week 11, 55 yards and a touchdown. He had 10 targets against the Saints. And then Jermaine Gresham, Cincinnati Bengals are starting to get hot, Todd. Andy Dalton has, I believe, 6 touchdowns in his last 2 games, or maybe 5 touchdowns in his last 2 games. And Jermaine Gresham, and if you're in a PPR league, Jermaine Gresham is a pretty solid addition.
Gresham, man, I mean, all the weapons, all those young weapons there for Andy Dalton with Gresham and A.J. Green. He's coming along, man. He was an outstanding tight end in Oklahoma, and he's kind of taken him a couple years to come into form. But, man, he's starting to light it up now.
You said Gresham might be one of the best college tight ends you've ever seen.
He was amazing. He really was. It's funny. He and Gronk were the two headliners for a couple of years there. Gronk was often injured in college. He never really could put a full season together.
Right.
But he and Gresham were kind of vying for All-American honors for a couple of years there. So the guy can play. For whatever reason, it's taken him a couple of years. But,
if you believe in Andy Dalton, I think Gresham's going to be a really nice target for him for years to come.
Good thing I have Gresham on my Dynasty League.
Dynasty? That's a good play.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, he might never be a top five tight end, Bill, but
right. He's
always going to be in that top 10, I think.
Yeah. The main thing to remember, though, Todd, is you're not going to find the replacement for Rob Gronkowski. He's the number one tight end in the league. You just don't go out and find a replacement for him that easily.
He's my keeper, so too,
you're gonna
so
have
it's a real
to find...
kick in the pills.
What's that?
He's my keeper, too.
I mean, you'll be fine next year, Kevin.
I know. It's just like it stinks to lose, you know, one of those two guys that I got to keep.
Well, think about it. If you take fantasy out of the mix, Kevin, I mean, he should be fine for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Pats fans don't have anything to worry about. You're going to have a playoff spot, and he'll be back in time for the playoffs. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that at all. It's not like a leg injury or anything, you know. It's an arm. It's really not a big deal.
I really don't think their offense is going to struggle.
I don't think so either.
I think they're going to be fine.
I think also that people don't give enough credit to the type of players that Fells and Shanko are anyway. Because I think they're perfectly serviceable backups.
Plus, Hernandez might be coming back.
Yeah, but he plays of the two tight end positions, he plays, like, he's a little bit different. Like, you know, I wouldn't say that from a scheme standpoint, he's not going to play where Gronk plays. It's going to be the bigger guys like Shanko and Fells and Hooman, as Coach Belichick referred to him yesterday, Humanawanui.
Yeah.
So, you know, from a strictly X's and O's football standpoint, I think those guys will do a more than serviceable job.
But think about it. I mean, the Patriots have been fine without Hernandez, so they're losing Gronk, but they're getting back Hernandez. It's not
true.
It's not like they don't have any playmakers at the tight end position anymore.
I agree.
I mean, I'm assuming that Hernandez is going to come back this week.
Well, I'm assuming he's going to come back at some point. I don't know if it'll be this week. We'll see. That's what happens when you rush guys back, though. I mean, they clearly rushed him back into that Seattle game, and he tweaked something, and all of a sudden...
But he scored!
I know,
he had a good game!
I'm not saying he didn't, but they clearly rushed him back because, you know, something happened. And whether it was that game or in practice, something happened, and he suffered a setback.
Yeah.
And he's been stuck in limited, you know, participation land ever since.
Now, Kevin, I know your plans for Thanksgiving. You're traveling with the team. You'll be at the Jets game, Pats Jets.
I will be. I will be at the Meadowlands for the first time, the new stadium. I can't wait.
Oh, okay. So you and I may be able to connect while you're down here. Todd, what do you have planned for Thanksgiving? Any big traditions in terms of Thanksgiving Day festivities with your family?
Oh, it's the in-laws' turn to host my little family.
Double-edged sword.
So yes.
Do you get to watch football, or are they those type of people that where they're like, Todd, you have to sit at the table
and
the TV goes off?
Football is king, thankfully,
nice.
With my in-laws.
Well,
that is not a problem.
I remember being little, and you'd like go to like your great aunt's house or your grandparents' house or whatever, and you'd have to turn the TV off when the game was on, and it was just like torture. I'd shove all the food in my mouth and look like Alvin and the Chipmunks, you know, two huge cheeks full of stuffing, and be like, okay, I'm done. I'll clear my plate and go watch the game. No, I've
never had to deal with
that.
It
was never that
football
easy.
Football's always been on in my house.
Yeah, I agree. Same here, Bill. It's never been a problem.
We have since shifted away from that as the holiday has been passed on to other people to host. So
that's
good. But I can just remember like those horrible memories as a kid. Very scarring.
I'll tell you what, man. Kevin, you know, Kerry brought it up, but we really didn't talk about it too much. But that's a great trio of games. It really is. I mean, these are three games that all mean something, fantasy
what's
or otherwise.
Not enough 4 o'clock games for Bill.
No, this week's fine. What's the best one out of these three games?
What's going to be the best finish?
I think the first one.
Texans-Lions?
That's my vote.
Really?
I think the Lions are going to win.
I wouldn't count that out.
That's my bold prediction right there. So you can kill me next week, but my bold prediction.
All right, let's do Thanksgiving Day bold predictions.
Right,
Kevin,
you got the
Lions.
Yeah, the Lions upset the Texans.
Todd?
If I had to pick an upset, that would be the one, man.
Really?
I agree with Kevin.
You don't think the Redskins have a chance in Dallas?
Well, no, they do. But that wouldn't be
a huge
upset.
I think they have
Dallas
a chance,
stinks.
Too. I'm just saying.
I got
a feeling.
I think Tony Romo is undefeated at home in the month of November.
Yeah, well.
So is your bold prediction that he's going to lose?
No.
Then what's your bold prediction?
Yeah, what's your bold prediction?
I kind of like the Titans. The Lions like
it. Oh, my God.
Like
he just criticized us for it.
No, I didn't.
You did. You were like, oh, my God, I can't believe you picked that. You're an idiot. I'm pretty sure
all
that's
right,
what
fine.
You said.
All right, fine. I'll pick the Redskins just because you said that.
All right. And then when the Cowboys kill the Skins and the Lions win, he's going to be like, "Well, you guys wouldn't let me.
Yeah,
you guys
well,
wouldn't let me
that's
pick."
Exactly
he's
going to
be like a 4-year old and take
that's
his ball
exactly
and go home.
That's exactly what I'm going
to
say.
It's terrible.
I'm not going to pick the Jets.
Good. I'd have to drive down there and kick you in the head.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick the Jets, so I mean, you're really not leaving with
nobody
a whole lot of options.
Hey,
here.
If the Jets win, I win the bet, right?
You do. Oh, you win the
God,
bet, so you should
Todd,
be rooting for the Jets.
It's not happening.
Bill and I have been hanging on the last couple. We've been holding strong.
Damn
after
right.
that initial setback, we're holding strong here.
Well, let's see.
As every week goes by, we look better and better.
Jets at the Dolphins, Texans, Niners. I smell a loss in there, boys.
You can smell it, but the fat lady, she may be humming, but she's not singing yet.
There's a joke somewhere in there, too, I think.
The fat lady.
Yeah.
Fat lady sings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the joke.
Babies, before we're done here, y'all be wearing gold-plated diapers.
There you go. That was for Bill.
There you go. Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Beautiful.
Because Bill and I are the same age. I can't believe you didn't get that. It's not like it was, you know, something
no,
that's too hip.
I didn't get it. Nope.
You know, I'm surprised. I mean, Todd, like, when did that come out, you think?
The cowbell?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I remember that skit. I just don't remember that line.
Will Ferrell? I don't know. Late
90s,
2000s.
What you remember
2000s?
From that skit
okay.
is the cowbell line. You don't remember.
So, Bill, we were, like, probably in the age of, like, we'll say, like, 12 to 17, somewhere in there when it was popular or when it came
right.
out.
Right.
I was a big SNL guy, though, and I'm a huge walk-in Will Ferrell guy. Like, I could watch
Will
the
Ferrell
best
was
of,
in that skit.
Yeah, I could
so,
watch
I mean,
the best
be...
of DVDs 24
April 8th, 2000.
There you go. So I was 14.
What's 27 minus 12?
15.
15.
Yeah. But at that time in April, I was only 14.
Oh,
that's what
oh
I'm saying.
I can't do that kind of math.
I know that's tough. Math is tough.
Yeah, forget it. I was around that age. All right, what do you say we wrap this puppy up like a present?
That sounds good. Like a wrap it up like a Belgian waffle from Olivier.
I better be getting those waffles, Kevin.
Well, unless you get a waffle count from him, I'm telling you, there's no guarantee that you'll get all of the waffles.
Well, he just emailed me, so I will be replying and asking how many waffles are in each package.
I know.
And
I debated
sending
on
them to Gillette,
I debated
I'm
on if I was
going
to forward that email to you. You know, yeah. I should just forward it to him and wipe the email address so it was useless.
All right. Any closing thoughts before we go?
Nope. Just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy the football.
Todd,
ditto that, and I will say Patriots 30, Jets 20.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even do that.
All right, quick prediction, go.
I'm going to say 34-17, Pats.
34-17. I'm going to go with 42-30. I think the Jets actually score a couple points late in the game, but by that time it's going to be a blowout. All right, happy Thanksgiving here for everybody. Enjoy the games. Best of luck in your matchups for Week 12 in the fantasy football world. And for more information, go to ffchamps.com or hit us up on Twitter. At FF Champs. We appreciate you listening. Have fun. Happy Thanksgiving. And good luck this weekend.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.